Kedushim in this class? Not many of them.
Okay, we'll see. Okay. Chafei Amid Beis, the Mishnah, four lines in the bottom of the page. Okay, we're learning the various differences between Trum and Kedush, and there were Mishnahs that said Kedush, Hegdush is stricter than Truma. The last Mishnah, the Mishnah was saying that the way Truma is even stricter than Kedush. And Ma'aretz is believed for Kedush, not for Truma, and so on. So now the Gemara is talking about what's called Medim. Medim is a city that was 15 mil, approximately 13 miles out of Yerushalayim. Now, as the Gemara is going to explain, in Yerushalayim, they're not allowed to make, they didn't have the opportunity to make earthenware vessels. Because in order to have earthenware vessels, you need a kiln. And they didn't want the black smoke to darken and dirty Yerushalayim, so to speak. So they didn't allow any ovens in Yerushalayim. So therefore, there was a shortage of utensils. Now, people in Yerushalayim needed, when they wanted to use the korbanos they ate, but they brought a korban, they needed to eat it, so they had to cook it. So they needed special kalim for Hegdish, for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, where in the world are they going to get kalim? In Yerushalayim, they couldn't make the utensils. So they had to make it. So one of the big places they made it was Medin. And because of that, the Chachamim lifted the ban of Tuma of an Amoritz, that we learned before, the Amoritz makes everything Tomei. And they said, from Medin towards Yerushalayim, we're going to lift all the bans on the Tum of an Amoritz, that Jews should, oh, you're back, that Jews should have enough utensils for Hegdish. Okay? So we're going to see the details in the Gemara, but the Gemara says like this, the Mishnah says, min ha-medim alifnim, from medim, inner, towards Yerushalayim, namanim al-kli cheretz, and Amoritz is trusted as far as the 25 before. He's believed on the Kli Cheretz, because like we said, there was short supply, the bottom there, yeah, the Mishnah. Because there was a short supply of Kalim, so they lifted the ban of the Amoritzim. Min HaMedim L'chutz, from Medim though, and outside, meaning away from Yerushalayim, then it was Tomei. Ein Amonim, they're not trusted. In other words, basically Amoritz is never trusted, like we learned. But the Chachamim were lenient because of the necessity for Kalim for the Beis HaMikdash, so they were lenient that from Medim inner towards Yerushalayim, if an Amoritz says the Kalim is Tahar, we believe him. From Medim outside, we don't believe him. So the Mishnah says, Keita, what does this mean? HaKedesh Shomech HaKedetis, a potter who sells pots, so Nichnas Lifnim Min HaMedim, if he enters inward of Medim, meaning towards Yerushalayim, then the din is, who hakadar, the potter, himself, the person, gedetis, the pots, behein aleichem, the people that buy the pots, are all neman, they're trusted that the kelim are tahor. Because like you said, the chacham lifted the ban. Yotza, what happens if the potter left Medim away from Yerushalayim, so then, ein amonim, he's not trusted. That means the same guy, 10 minutes earlier is trusted, and 10 minutes later, he's already not trusted. Okay? Now, as the Gemara is going to explain, but the Mefarshim explained it now, in order to believe the potter that the Kalim are Tahar, you need three conditions that the Gemara will discuss. Number one, that only the potter himself is trusted. And that's why the Mishnah says, Hu HaKedor. Only the potter is trusted. If the potter gave his pots to somebody else, that second guy is not trusted anymore to say it's tahor. He's not trusted only if the potter himself is trusted. Number one. Number two, if the potter mixes his pots with the guys from Medim, he's again not believed. Only his pots that he brought from between Yerushalayim and Medim, that he came from that area between Yerushalayim and Medim, that he comes to Medim, then he's believed. But if he mixes his pots with the pots locally of Medim, he's not believed. And the third thing is, if the buyer, the purchaser, does not see him come into Medim from Yerushalayim direction, he's also not believed. That means there has to be a number of conditions. Number one, you have to see the potter coming into Medim to trust him. Secondly, only the guy himself is believed, not if he gives it to somebody else. And even the potter is only believed on his pots itself without mixing in it anything else. These are the three cases of the Mishnah. So now the problem over here is, the Mishnah seemingly contradicts itself. The Mishnah says, from Medim towards Yerushalayim is believed. From Medim away from Yerushalayim, he's not believed. So what about Medim itself? The Gemara says, from Medim inward is believed, from Medim outward is not believed. So what's Medim itself?
I thought you said in Medim itself. if you see the guy there,
if you see him coming in there.
If you see him coming in.
Yeah, but you don't know where you see him. The Gemara is going to discuss this. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, we learned like this. Medim, as far as the city of Medim itself, pa'amim kilifnim, pa'amim kilachutz. Sometimes it has a din of inside, meaning towards Yerushalayim that it's tahar, and sometimes it has a din of away from Yerushalayim that it's tamei. So the Mishnah says, Kate said, what's the case? You know, how does it work? So he says, Keder Yetze V'chaven Nichnes, if the case is like this, just to get the picture straight, here's Yerushalayim, here's Medim, okay? So the Gemara said, any place between Medim and Yerushalayim is tahar, because we lifted the ben because of the need for the kelim. Now, what happens if the kedar is coming from in between Yerushalayim and Medim? He's coming into Medim, and the chaver nichnes, and the chaver is coming from outside Medim, away from Yerushalayim this way, and he's coming in. So the kedar is coming from Yerushalayim to Medim, and he's coming from the opposite way to Medim. So the Gemara says, what's the din then? The Braisa says, kilifnim. It has the din of the inner parts, and therefore he's believed. Because where is the potter coming from? Or in between Yerushalayim and Medim. So it doesn't matter so much where the chaver is coming from. The primary thing is, where is the potter coming from? So if he's coming from, and the chaver sees it, so then the chaver in Medim can accept that the potter is tahor. What happens? Shneem nichnasim. What happens though if they're both coming from in between Yerushalayim to Medim, or shneem yaitzim? They are both leaving the inner area for the city. I'm sorry. Well, I just said the wrong order. What happens? They're both coming from outside Medim into Medim, or they're both coming from inside to Medim. In both cases, they're not believed. And this is a very interesting din. The Chachamim say, listen, if you could buy it here, and you don't, and you wait until they come here, suffer. If you had a chance to buy it in a good place, between Medim and Yerushalayim, and you didn't, the Chum said, you know what, we're not going to let you buy it. Why are you relying on something so to speak b'diyeved if you could have done it right? So the Mishnah says, if the guy is coming from inside means between Yerushalayim and Medim. If he's coming from inside to Medim, even if the Chaver is coming, and the chaver is coming from outside into Medim, so the chaver couldn't have bought it earlier because the guy wasn't there. So then we say the pot's a tahar. If the Ma'arit says the pot is tahar, we believe him. Why? Because the chacham has no choice. What should the chaver do? Where can he buy it? He couldn't have bought it before. He was outside. But if they're both coming from the outside, meaning if the guy's going towards Yerushalayim, so wait until later to buy it properly. Or they were both inside and now they went to Medim? Chacham said he's not believed. Because you should have bought it when you had the proper chance to buy it properly. And if you didn't, you're not believed. That's what the Gemara says. If you see, Medim sometimes like inside, sometimes like outside. So you see the, at the end of the page. Keter. Kaden Yoitze. Kaden Yoitze means the potter is coming into the city from Yerushalayim. The Chaven Nachnes, and the Chav is coming from outside the city into the city. Kilifnim, it has it in like the inside that he's believed. Because the Chaver had no choice. Shneim Nachnasim and Shneim Yoitzim. What happens if both are going out? Meaning they're going from inside to the city. Or they're both coming from outside into the city, but they're going to continue going further. Kalachutz, it has a din of the outside, and you're not allowed to buy the vessels there. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye says on this, Afana Nami Tanina. We learned this in Takin Abrais, in our Mishnah. Forget Abrais. We learned this in our Mishnah. Why? He said, because Abaye asks a contradiction in our Mishnah itself. What did our Mishnah say? A Mishnah said, Hakei de Shemocher Sakdeiris, the potter who sold pots, who sells pots, v'nichnes lefnim min amidim, and he comes from inside Medim, meaning he's inside Medim, the din is you can believe him. Time of the lefnim min amidim, that's only because he came inside of Medim. Hog Medim gufa, but if you would be in Medim itself, Lay Mahamani wouldn't be believed. What does the Mishnah say? Inside Medim, between Medim and Yerushalayim, you're believed. Which means, Medim itself, you're not believed. Then at the end of the Brais, it says, Eima Sefer, look at the end of the Sefer, at the end of the Mishnah, it says, Yatsa, if he left Medim, he's not trusted. Which means, in Medim, he is trusted. So the Gemara says, okay, Tzad, how could that be? It's a contradiction. Because one Braisa says, if he's inside Medim, he's believed, which means in Medim itself, he's not believed. Then the second half says, outside Medim, he's not believed, which means inside Medim, he is believed. So it's a contradiction. What is the din of Medim? So we must say, what does the Mishnah mean? El Olav Shemamino, does it not mean? One case is speaking, meaning the second half of the Mishnah, where he is believed, is speaking in a case. Bekeda Yotza, when the potter is coming from Yerushalayim to Medim, and the Chaver is coming from outside Medim into Medim. So the Chaver didn't have a chance to buy it earlier, because he wasn't there yet. So then he's believed. Khan, but the beginning part of the Mishnah, when they says he's not believed, is speaking b'shashneim yetzim, when both are going from the inner area to the city, or from the outside area coming into the city, then they're not believed. Why not? Because either, basically in both cases, he should have bought it where he was allowed to, and not where you're not allowed to. Shema mino, so we learned it from here. Meaning the Gemara says like this. The outcome of the Gemara, so to speak, is the Chachamim lifted the ban because, like we said, and the Gemara is going to discuss even more, there was a shortage of Kalim for Hegdash. Okay? So because it was the shortage of Kalim, the Chachamim said, we're going to lift the ban between Medim and Yerushalayim, which was 15 mil. Any pot you buy in the 15 mil radius of Yerushalayim, and by the way, it seems the Mefarshim say, it's only this 15 mil mile radius, not in any other direction. Because Mishnah doesn't say 15 mil any direction outside of Yerushalayim. It says from Medim to Yerushalayim, 15 mil is permitted, which means any other direction is not believed. And one of the reasons they say, by the way, is because Medim basically was a big place where they saw, where they made Kalim. Here, Medim was the center of pottery. The Tesis Yom Tov in the Mishnah explains, why does it say only Medim? because Medim was a center of pottery. So only over there were the Chachamim lifting the ban. So it says like this. Anything between Yerushalayim and Medim, any time an Amoret says this Keli is good, you're allowed to buy it. You trust him. For Hegdish. Not for Truma, we're going to see later, for Hegdish. Because Hegdish was a problem. They were limited in Kalim Yerushalayim. Because Hegdish you had to eat in Yerushalayim. Truma you could eat anywhere. So just go buy a Keli anywhere which is good. What do you have to buy Dafka over here? For Hegdish, and this is one of the strictnesses, where Hegdish is more lenient than Truma. For Hegdish we believe them, and for Truma not. For Truma the Amoris are not believed, even in the 15 mil radius between Medim and Yerushalayim. But for Medim, inside, we believe the person. Or, in Medim itself, if the guy couldn't have bought the pot here, for instance, the potter is coming this way, and the chaver is coming this way, so he couldn't have bought the pot here because he's there, he's not here. So then Medim, we let him buy it. But any case where they were here, and he didn't buy it when he could have, and then they come here, then the chacham say, you know what? Tough luck, you missed it. You missed the opportunity, you can't buy the keli. It's tummy.
We never believe them for teruma at all? Not even for special seasons as...
Oh, yeah, as a season. In fact, the Gemara is later going to say, regal, Yom Tov time, we believe him. But only on Yom Tov. The second Yom Tov is over, as the bottom Mishnah on the page is going to say, they tabled all the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, with a few exceptions. Because Amiratzim touched it. Yom Tov, nobody's tummy. It was like, they lifted the ban, because again, there's no definite tumah. And Amoritz is not for sure tummy. There's a rabbinic assumption that Amoritz is tummy. Okay? So it's a rabbinic ban. So on certain times, times of the press, was, we learned before, Yom Tov, the Chacham lifted the ban, but only on that ban, on that time. The second the time's over, we'll see later in the Mishnah details, Machlekes, but it's not, you're not believing anymore. I'll give you another example that we discussed, even though we didn't learn it in the Gemara. The Gemara says, and Amaretz and Shabbos is believed to sit, not Tumah, that he separated Maaser. Like this, the grain of an Amaretz is called Dmai. You're not allowed to eat it without separating Maaser. If an Amaretz and Shabbos says this Tvur was separated, so it says, Amaretz Eina Meshaka B'Shabbos, even an illiterate does not lie in Shabbos, so you believe him. Okay? But you're only allowed to eat it on Shabbos. The second Shabbos is over, you can't even eat what he told you on Shabbos was good. In other words, the ban was lifted for this particular time and that's it. The ban was lifted for this particular place. Any other place, it's no good. Now, if you couldn't have bought it differently, because you were coming from outside Medim, and he's coming into Medim, so then you have no choice, you're allowed to do it.
When you say Yom Tov, is that included Shabbat also? Did they lift the ban?
About lying? The Shabbos.
Including Shabbos?
Just Shabbos. No, you mean about Tumah?
Yes.
No, only Yom Tov.
So if they brought a vessel on Shabbat for Korbanot at the time?
Well, Shabbos you couldn't bring a carbon unless if you can't bring a private carbon on Shabbos, so it really didn't matter. Yom Tov everybody brought their carbonus. Shabbos you can't shecht unless if it's a public carbon that you had to bring on Shabbos, so then you had no choice. But in fact, it discusses from the Mefarshim, what the Mishnah and the Gemara don't discuss is another case that could be common. What happens if the Chaver is leaving here to Medim, and the Amoritz is coming from outside here? In other, until now we're learning the Chaver is coming from outside Medim to Medim, and the potter is coming from inside to Medim. And we said then he could use it. What happens on reverse that it doesn't say? But they say, and they say, we can learn this case from the case of the Mishnah where they're leaving Inert for the town, because he will not have, even though he won't have any more opportunity to buy it, the fact that he could have bought it when he should have, he's not believed. So if the Chaver is coming from inside, from Edim, he's not allowed to buy it. Because he should have bought Kalim over there. Even though the potter wasn't there yet, but he could have had a different potter. So then he wouldn't be allowed to do it.
Meaning we don't believe this potter?
Correct. The potter's an amoritz. Obviously, if the potter's a chaver,
no.
Then there's no question. Speaking of potters and amoritz. And by the way, the Gemara is going to explain soon. Mamash, the next piece of Gemara, so argument of Berech Nish Lakish, you're only talking about small utensils. Large utensils that store things, this whole Gemara is not talking about. That's Tomei. If you talk about big wine barrels to store wine, nobody's believed. We're talking about cooking Hegdish, you needed to cook the Korbanos, you had a limited time to cook them, because they're either eating a day and a night, 2 days and a night, you couldn't just leave them for whatever. So they needed utensils to cook. So those utensils, because there was a shortage, the Chachamim said, you know what, we're going to believe you. But only under certain conditions. Only when you couldn't have bought it any other place. Then it would have been good, and you can buy it then. So basically, the bottom rule of the mission is, from Medim to Yerushalayim, you can buy it whenever you want. Medim, the city itself, is only good if you didn't have the opportunity to buy it before. How? You're coming from outside Medim, and the potter is coming into Medim. Then you're allowed to buy it. Otherwise you can't. Even in the city of Medim. That means primarily Medim had a din of outside the realm, that it's no good in Medim. A potter in Medim itself wasn't believed. It's only when he brought the pot from inside Medim to Medim, then sometimes we believe him. Now the Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the Braises said as follows. When we said in the Mishnah that our Ma'aretz is believed on the Kalim, you know, that they're from Medim in towards Yerushalayim, it says in the Braises, Naman and Bekli Cheres Hadak Nakedesh, he's only believed on the small earthenware pots, not on big ones. Okay, so Amir Ishlakish. Now the Gemara is going to discuss what's the definition of a small pot and what's the definition of a big pot. Because the Braisa says only small pots he's believed. Amar Reish Lakish, v'hu shenitlam b'yadi achas. Small means any pot that can be carried with one hand. It's called small. Any pot you need two hands to carry, not believed. Rabbi Yechanan said, even if you can't carry it with one hand, you need two hands to carry it, he's also believed. But the Mefarshim explained, Rashi explains, that's only though not barrels or storage. We're talking about pots to cook. So the Shulchan says the definition of a pot that's small means only a pot that you can hold with one hand. Rabbi Yechanan says, even a pot that you can hold with two hands, as long as it's not for storage, it's made to cook, so then it's also tahar. Then the Gemara says there's another argument between Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish about this. Now the question is like this. The Ma'aretz says that these kelim for Hegdish are tahar, we believe him. How about if there's stuff inside the kelim? Do we believe him too? Do we believe him on the keli only, or even on the things inside the keli? So he says like this. Reish Lakish says, Laishanu el reikanim. We only believe this law, meaning that the Chachamim exempt the law of Tumah only by reikanim, by empty vessels. Avo Malayim, no, but Malayim, but if there is non-Kadish things in the keli, then the din is, he's not believed. And according to this, he's not even believed on the keli. Because he's not believed on the stuff inside the keli, then he's not believed on the keli. That means Reish Lakish holds, when does the Mishnah say that Ma'aretz from Medim to Yerushalayim is believed that a keli is tahar? Small kelim, only if it's empty. If it's full, the Chachamim never lifted the ban.
And according to Reish Lakish, it doesn't matter what's inside.
What?
According to Reish Lakish, it doesn't matter what's inside.
Non-Kodesh. If it's Hegdish, then he's believed on Hegdish too.
Even according to Reish Lakish.
It says at the bottom, according to Rashi explains, okay, Rashi says because Reish Lakish says a very simple concept. If the liquid is no good, then the keli is no good. If the liquid is good, the keli is good. Now, in Amar, it's the only belief for Hegdish. Chomolinyan for Hegdish. The Chachamim were not lenient for anything but Hegdish. If you have non-Hegdish liquid in the keli, so Amar is not believed to say it's good. It's not Hegdish. Now, if he's not believed on the liquid, Rabbi Reish Lakish holds, then how can he be believed on the keli? It has to be consistent. It's either Tameh or Tahar. You can't have half of it is Tameh and half of it is Tahar. That doesn't make sense. So Reish Lakish says you have to be consistent. The liquid is kosher, then the keli is kosher. The liquid is not kosher, how could the keli be kosher? Tahar. So if it's non-Hegdish liquid, he's not believed. So then Reish Lakish says, then how could he be believed on the keli? But if it's Hegdish liquid inside the keli, then we learned in Amar, it says believed on Hegdish. Oh, Rabbi Yechon didn't see it. Rabbi Yechon and Amar, Afilu Malayim. Even if it's full. And he says even more, Afilu api karsuse leteche, even if he put his garment inside the keli, it's a question with the version of Rashi over here, because in Agamar Rashi says it means mashkin, and they change the text of Rashi and they make it clothing, that even if it's inside the keli, it's also good. Now, but we're not done yet. That means Rabbi Yechanan says a very interesting thing. Even if the keli is full of liquid, non-Hegdish, obviously, he's believed on the keli and not on the liquid. Reish Lakish says, if he's not believed on the liquid, how can he be believed on the keli? If the liquid's in the keli. That means a lot of times, a Zov, if an Amaretz is the Tum of a Zov, bodily impurity, which they were, without being careful, so by moving the liquid, automatically the Keli became Treif. I mean, Tum, I'm using the word Tummy. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, he's not believed on the liquid, because the liquid is not Hegdish, and an Amaretz is not believed on the liquid, so the liquid is Tummy, but the Keli is Tahar. So Amar Rava says, Umeid Rabbi Yechon, yet Rabbi Yechon agrees, b'mashkin atzmam shem tameim, that the liquid itself is tameh. So he says, but that doesn't make sense. So Rava said, altisma, don't wonder. Shai, because we find similar cases like this. And he gives another case. Shai, login malaya mashkin, a wooden flask, which is full of liquid, that's protected from tumma from a corpse. I'll explain in a second. Login tumeim tumma shiva. The flask is tame 7 days, and mashke is tahar. And the mashke is completely tahar. Meaning like this. Last week we learned, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we learned that then, if there's tum in this room, and there's a dead body in the room, everything in the room is tamei. That we learned. Remember, Kain, the pasuk says a chumish. If there's a Kain walks into a tent, or a person walks into a tent where there's a dead body, everybody becomes tamei. The second floor is tahor. Why? Because the ceiling stops the tumah. What happens if there's a hole in the ceiling? So the tumah goes up. Okay? It makes sense, because the tumah has a place to go. Like this, if there's a ceiling, the ceiling stops the tumah from going more. Even though it's spiritual, but the din is, it stops this tumah from going up to the second floor. But if you have a hole in the middle of the ceiling, so then the tumah keeps going. Now, what happens if you take an earthenware utensil and stuff up the hole? Now, biblically, that stops the tumah. Why? Because we learned before in the Gemara, a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, cannot become tame from the outside, only from the inside. All other utensils, if this is a utensil, and this is tuma, if it goes in the air without touching the keli is not tame. It has to touch it. If it touches the outside of a keli, the whole keli becomes tamei. Earthenware vessel is just the opposite. Illogical, but this is it. If it goes inside the air of the keli, it doesn't even touch it. It goes inside the keli, it becomes tamei. If it touches the outside, it doesn't become tuma. The din is klicheres eina metama ele migabe. Miteichei. Only from the inside. So an earthenware vessel cannot become tummy on the outside. Okay, klicheres cannot become tummy on the outside. So if you stuff up the hole with a klicheres, because this doesn't become tummy from the outside, biblically it blocks the tumah. Okay? If this would be a metal utensil, because this becomes tummy, the tumah keeps going up. But because it's earthenware, this doesn't become tummy. Okay? So really, the tumah doesn't go up to the second floor. Yet the Chachamim said, if you have a flask, a wooden flask with liquid on the second floor, the flask is tummy and the liquid isn't. Now, does that make sense? The flask is tummy, but the liquid inside of it is not tummy. Because when the Chachamim lifted bands, they did how they wanted, when they wanted. So the Gemara says, don't wonder how over here Rabbi Yechonin could say that the Ma'aretz is believed to say the keli is tahar, even though he's not believed on the liquid inside the keli. So inside the keli, the liquid is tamei. The keli itself is tahar. He says, that doesn't make sense. He said, don't worry about it, it doesn't have to make sense. It's good. Because we find it in different places.
That was the argument between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, where Rabbi Yehoshua is. Then,
you know, twice. So, you're embarrassing me. Right.
This is more like common, but for casual, if you have liquid in a vessel, the vessel also becomes not kosher. Right? So this has nothing to
do with kosher treif. First of all, this is cold one anyway, so it's really not going to make a treif. We're talking about kosher liquids. The only question is it tahor, is it not tahor? Because an ama'arit is not believed. Right? If an ama'arit says something is tahor, we don't believe him. For hegdish, we believe him. For truma, not. In this respect, like we learned before, the two reasons why hegdish is more lenient than truma. If an ama'arit says truma is not tamei, we don't believe him, and it's tamei. If ama'arit says hegdish is not tamei, we believe him. Why? So two reasons. Either because hegdish is so sacred, people are afraid to play games with it. Or like we learned before, the second reason, that if you're not going to believe him by hegdish, they'll go make their own Beis HaMikdash. You know, they'll go do their own thing and it'll be a problem. So basically, our Mishnah is saying that because of the shortage of utensils for the Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim permitted in Amo'aretz that we trust him. Rather, it would be a better word. Chachamim trusted the Amo'aretz between Medim and Yerushalayim, which was 15 mil, any keli that he says is tahar, small kelim. Either Reish Lakish holds, you hold it in one hand, or Rabbi Yechon says even two hands, but it's made to cook. Any vessel, pot, pan, that Amo'aretz says is tahar, we believe him. Medim, sometimes we believe him, sometimes we don't, like we learned in the Gemara. But now the Gemara says, what the kelim that we trust Amo'aretz, Reish Lakish says, is only when they're empty. But if they're full with non-Hegdish material, just like we don't believe him on that, we don't believe him on the keli. Rabbi Yechanan says, even though we don't believe him on the liquid, and the liquid is tamei, when if he says the keli is tahar, we believe him. How could that be? So the Gemara brought another case where you find the keli is one din and the liquid has another din.
Can we follow Rabbi Yechanan?
Yeah. Next Mishnah, this is also a very interesting Mishnah. Do you trust Ganovim or not? Okay, when the Mishnah Chavava Med Aleph, right after the wide lines. And again, keeping in mind that in the olden times, the laws of Tumah and Tara are extremely important. They had to know if you're Tumah or not. And again, there was an assumption that Amiratzim, illiterates, are always Tomei, and they make everything Tomei. That's a rabbinic ban. The Amorites are not believed, and whatever they touched is Tomei. The Mishnah now is going to discuss the din like this. In the olden times, the Persian kings, the Babylonian kings, the Persian kings, the Dariush kings, would hire Jewish tax collectors. And when you owed a debt to the king, what did he do? These tax collectors would go into your house, go through your house, see what kelim the king would like to keep for the debt, and they take it. Okay? Or, the Gemara is going to say, what happens if a guy had a break-in in the house? Now, a ganef is basically an amoritz. If he's a religious Jew, he's not going to steal. The tax collectors were not chachamim. I mean, ter chachamim. They were maybe smart, nothing personal, but they were smart, but they weren't from chachamim. So now the question is, a ganef breaks into your house, is everything in your house tamei or not? Or these tax collectors come in to collect the debts from your house, is everything now in your house tamei or not? So the Mishnah says that then, Hagaboyim shenichnasu l'teich habayis, tax agents that came into a house, and Rashi explains, it speak about Jewish tax collectors for a goyish king. And Rashi explained, the Mefarshim explained in Rashi, why is Rashi learning it's a goyish king? Because a Jewish king is not allowed to send people in to collect collateral. Is a pasuk in Chumash. If somebody owes you money, you have to stand outside, and only Bezdin can go in. You can't go in. So, there was no way a Jewish king could send people into people's houses to collect debts. So therefore, who will we be talking about? Rashi explains, a Goyish king that sent Jewish tax collectors to collect, you know, kalim for their goods. So it says, V'chein ha-ganav m'sheh ziru ha-sakelim. Another thing, another case is, a ganav stole your keli. And then he did tshuva, as Umar is going to explain, and he gives it back. Now, is it tamei or not? He says, Namanim leimar, the ganavim are believed to say, lo nagainu, we didn't touch it. Meaning as follows. The way Rashi explains it, Rashi explains it like this. The tax collectors go into the house. And later they say, you know what? We didn't touch these vessels, we didn't touch these vessels, we didn't touch these vessels. So the Mishnah says they're believed. For Hegdish. Because you're talking about Jewish tax collectors. They're believed to say, this I didn't touch and this I did touch. Or a ganef that borrowed an earthenware vessel. I'm not borrowed, he stole, he borrowed. He stole an earthenware vessel. And he now is returning it. And he said, you know what? I never touched the inside of it. I only touched the outside of it. And we just learned that klicheres does not become tummy from the outside. Mm. So if you're talking about Hegdish, the din is the ganef is believed and the tax collector is believed. But the Mishnah says, Nemanim lemele negainu, we are only, they're believed to say we didn't touch it, but the Mishnah Rashi explains the sequence of the other Mishnah is only referring to Hegdish, not for Truma. As far as Truma is concerned, they're not believed in all the Kelim are tummy. Or the earthenware vessel that the ganef stole is tummy. What happens, Yerushalayim? Now another strictness of Hegdish, where Truma is stricter than Hegdish. Yerushalayim, in the city of Yerushalayim, Nemonim alakedish, Dameratzim are believed when it comes to Hegdish, Obeshaser Egel, and only in the time of Yom Tif are they believed, Afala Truma, even on Truma. That means Hegdish in Yerushalayim, they're always believed, and Truma only on Yom Tif. But the rest of the year, even in Yerushalayim, in Amoritz is not believed for Truma. So this is another strictness of Truma over Hegdish. So the first few Mishnahs in the Perek were discussing the strictness of Hegdish over Truma. And the last Mishnahs of the Perek are discussing the strictness of Truma over Hegdish. For Hegdish they're believed, and for Truma they're not believed. So the Gemara says, Ramino, I'll ask you a question. Our Mishnah just got through saying that if the Jewish tax collectors of the Goyish king went into a house, they're believed to say what they touched and what they didn't touch for Hegdish. So the Gemara says, but Amin will ask you a question, Hagaboyim shenuchnus ulutech habayis, the tax agent that went into the house, habayis kule tomei, the whole house is tomei. We just got through saying they're believed to say what they touched and what they didn't touch. And here a Braisa says clearly, or it's another Mishnah really, that anything, the whole house is tummy. That means they're not believed. So why in our Mishnah do they believe in the tax collectors? And over there, they don't believe them. That the whole house is tummy. So the Gemara answers like this. Like Kashi, it's not a Kasha. It depends who came along with the Jewish tax collectors. Did they go themselves, or did they go with Goyim? It says like this. If a Goy is with them, then everything is Tamei. Our Mishnah is speaking, if there's no Goy, then they are believed. Why? He says why. The Tanam, because we learned in the Mishnah, Im Yesh Nochri Imohim. If a Goy went together with the Jewish tax collectors, Nemanim Lema, they're believed to say, the Jewish tax collectors are believed to say, Lo Nechnasnu Imohem, we didn't go in with them. But, they're not believed to say, Nechnasnu Avolei Nagainu. they are not believed to say that we went in but we didn't touch. Why? And the Gemara is going to ask, what's the difference? What's the difference if a guy is there? So the Gemara says very simple. The Gemara is going to ask a question, the Gemara is going to answer. But basically the Gemara is saying like this. One Mishnah says that the tax collectors are believed to say what they touched and what they didn't touch for Hagdish. And another Mishnah in Aleh says they're never believed. And everything is Tamei. So the Gemara says obviously it's a contradiction. So the Gemara answers like this. If they went in themselves, they're believed. If they went in with a guy, they're not believed. Why? Because if a guy goes in with them, they have to do their job better to make a mess of the Jewish house. Why? The guy can snitch to the government. Or a guy will beat them up for not doing their job. If they're going themselves, they have a rachmanis and another Jew, they're not going to touch everything. So they're believed to say this we touched and this we didn't touch. But if the guy went with them, they're not believed anymore because for sure they touched everything. Because the fear of the guy is going to make him touch everything. But the Mishnah says an interesting halacha. They're believed to say we never entered the house. But they're not believed to say we went in but we didn't touch. Meaning like this. If they went in themselves, nobody else saw them go in. Okay? And this is what the explanation is. If nobody saw them go into the house, no witnesses, no nothing, the tax collectors themselves come and say, you know what? We went into the house, but we didn't touch anything. You have to believe them. Because it's a rule in halacha, pesha asar, hu hapesha hitir. The same mouth that made the problem, if you believe the mouth that made the problem, you have to believe the mouth that made it unproblemed. Meaning, if they didn't go into the house, meaning, we don't know that they went into the house. Nobody saw them go into the house. The tax collectors come and say, you know what? We went into the house. Meaning, i.e., we made a problem. But we never touched anything. Then you have to believe them. Because if you're believing them that they went into the house, then you have to believe them that they didn't touch. Because you can't believe them halfway. You either believe them or you don't believe them. If people saw them going into the house, then it's not them anymore. Then we know for sure they went into the house. Then we don't believe them to say we didn't touch it.
But people could be their witnesses, and they went in, and they could say that they went.
Then they wouldn't be believed. It says if a guy went with them.
No, just without a guy.
That's our Mishnah. They're believed.
Because right. They could simply right. Say we never went in. They're not going to say I.
They could have said we never went in, and you wouldn't know any other way that they went in.
Right.
But if they're witnesses that they went in, and the guy is with them, you can't say they didn't touch because of the fear of the guy. They're going to touch everything. Our Mishnah speaking that no guy went with them. They went themselves. If they went themselves, we're not afraid that they touched what they said. They touched. Because an Amar is a belief for Hegdish. For Truma, they're not believed. For Truma, everything in the house is Tomei. Even what they say, they didn't touch. But for Hegdish, the Chachamim believed in Amar is because of the severity of Hegdish. So if they didn't go in with the guy, they went in themselves, and they say this I touched, this I didn't touch, we believe him. If a guy went in with them, the Mishnah over there says, you cannot believe them. And the Gemara asks, so what if a guy is with them? So the Gemara answers two answers. Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lozer both answer one answer. Charam, one of them say, Emes Nochri Alayim. Meaning, the guy will not snitch to the king, but they have to come in contact with everything because they're afraid of the guy.
You're assuming that the tax collector is Tamei, right?
Well, they're not Ma'aretz. If they're not Ma'aretz, it's an assumption that they're Tamei. So normally for Hegdish, we believe in Ma'aretz, the Gemara says. We believe the Amoritz, right? But not if there's a guy with them. Because of the fear of the guy, he's going to be forcibly forced to touch everything in the house, to ransack the house. And therefore, he's not believed to say, I touched and I didn't touch. Because we assume that he touched everything. Rabbi Yechanan says the reason is, the other opinion, Rabbi Elazar says, Amos Malchus Aleim, their fear that the goyim will snitch. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between the two opinions if we're afraid the guy is going to beat him up or we're afraid he's going to snitch? So it says, Nachri She'ein Achoshuv, a guy is not eminent. Meaning he might not be able to punish them for doing it, but he could definitely snitch. Anybody can snitch to the king, especially when it comes against the Jews. I'll listen in a second.
What's that got to do with the trustworthiness of the...
Because the Jew is coming in, who's an Amoritz. He's saying, these things I touched, and these things I didn't touch. So the Gemara says, if a guy is with him, he's going to touch everything.
And make it tame?
Well, once he touches, if he's touching it for sure, it might be tame. Because it's not in Yerushalayim. But the question, if he's believed to say what he touched is not, they're only believed to say that they didn't touch it. Once an Amoritz touches it, the assumption is even by Hegdish that it's Tamei. So question, do we believe that he touched it or not? See, if there's no guy for Hegdish, we can assume. If he didn't touch it, he says honest, he didn't touch it. If a guy is there, we have to assume he touched everything.
But his word on the matter is irrelevant.
Correct. Question is, did the Chacham lift the ban or not?
What do you mean?
Sometimes they said, we trust him if he says, this I touched, this I didn't touch. But that's only if there's no Goyim with him. If there's Goyim with him, we assume for sure he touched everything. If he touched it, it's Tame. If he's not sure, it's going to be tummy. Yep. Okay.